WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hardy.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
Come to decide that the things that I tried were in my life just to get high on. When I sit alone, come get a little known, but I need more than myself this time. Step from the road to the sea to the sky, and I do believe that we rely on. When I lay it on, come get to play it on, all my life to sacrifice. Hey, yo, listen what I say.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com as well. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
You almost got that out fully.
Almost got it out. Botched it at the end, but you know, you're the ho-host now. You're not a co-host anymore. You are the ho-host.
Ho, hey, ho, hi, everybody. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Rack Radio Show. Join us in the chat rooms at WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Gerwick.net. You can tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at Lynn's Ward, and at Rack Radio Show, as previously mentioned. Or give us your comments in the chat rooms, because we interact, we're live. We got some stuff to talk about.
Yeah, first and foremost, Matt Hardy needs to be canceled from the damn intro. He hurt my boo-boo.
No.
Yes.
No.
He needs to be deleted from the intro.
The answer, no.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
We will discuss this later.
No.
Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. We have a full show for you tonight. Yes, we are talking about the final deletion in this show. You will get to hear me cry about it for 10 minutes.
Ultimate deletion.
Ultimate deletion. Well, I keep calling it the final deletion. I mean, it really was technically the final deletion, but it was ultimate. Anyway, we're going to be talking about that later in the show. We're also going to be talking about Daniel Bryan and the monumental news that comes with him, which if you haven't heard, he has been cleared for in-ring competition. We are dedicating a whole segment to that. That will be at the end of the show, so we're going to fill you in on everything that's going on with him, and including what his schedule may be, and basically what he sort of had to go through to really get this to happen. So we'll tell you all about that later, but we also have all your favorites, NXT, SmackDown, not NXT. Already said that. Mixed Match Challenge and Tweet of the Week.
Slow it down.
Slow it down. It's one of those nights where I'm just like, ooh! It's been a week, y'all. It's been a week.
If you haven't heard our interview with the one and only Max Brown, a.k.a. King Robert of the Royals, go check it out. after the podcast is over at rockradioshow.com and wildtalkradio.com. Thanks to the random fan who decided to recap it all. That is awesome.
Thank you to them. Thank you to EPR for putting it out. Greatly appreciate that. That was a nice thing to find.
That was a nice thing, too. Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
It's a shiny.
Glad,
but yes.
Glad you all enjoyed it, and we hope to bring you more stuff like that down the road.
Same, same. So anyway, we're going to jump right into the news brought to reference over at Gerwick.net, and well, we're going to start with the biggest news of the week that does not include Daniel Bryan, because obviously that is one of the biggest stories of the week, but the second-ish biggest story this week is basically, is the XFL done before it even gets off the ground? Was announced this week that, well, they might have some competition and they're going to be starting as early as what, next year?
They will be starting February of 2019. It is the Alliance of American Football, which is backed by, has investors who have a lot more money than Vince McMahon. That is first off. It is being put together by Charlie Ebersol, who was the one who created the documentary about the XFL, the 30 for 30. Imagine that. He's been working on this project for about a year and a half secretly, which is why we've heard nothing about it. He has some real football people attached to it, including NFL Hall of Fame executive Bill Polian. He has a few other NFL, former NFL players attached to it as well. And they're going to be changing the rules. Sort of like what Vince McMahon wants to do. He wants to speed up the games, so they're getting rid of, I heard today, they were getting rid of, like, it's a 30-second play clock. They're getting rid of TV timeouts, and, yeah, stuff like that. They're trying to enhance the game. Fantasy football is going to be tied into it completely, and, yeah. But the biggest thing out of it all, they have secured a deal with CBS. What will happen on CBS will be the first game and the finale. Every other game will be on the CBS Sports Network and all their streaming devices, but they still have a major partner behind them, too. None of these things, will that Vince McMahon has. He doesn't have the financial backers. He doesn't have a TV deal. He just has a rough concept, which is why he's coming out in 2020, and these guys are ahead of the game. I feel bad for Vince, because this is probably the first time he's ever lost, you know?
Yeah, actually, technically, it's the second time he's lost with the XFL.
No, but with the XFL, it wasn't a loss. Like, this time he's actually beat. Someone actually beat him to something.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a terrible surprise that Ebersol would be working on this. And you do feel bad for Vince because he's put a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of money into getting this up off the ground. And there's a little bit of egg on his face. But then again, Ebersol's also been working on this for a year, year and a half ahead of Vince. So obviously, it makes sense that he's really going to get to market first because, well, Vince is just starting. But what's really key about this is that Ebersol's working hand in hand with the NFL on this.
With NFL people, not the league, but basically going to work again with the league, sort of.
Well, what that implies is because he does have NFL people working for him, is that sort of gets his foot in the door with the NFL, and it could eventually work out to be a partnership, which I think you mentioned that they're going to be some kind of feeder system for the NFL.
They hope to be, yes. And here's the thing. They're calling this a league. They're calling this an alliance. Long live the alliance. Long live the alliance. But, they're trying not to be, they're not trying to compete. That's the thing. Every other thing, like the XFL, was trying to compete back in the day. This is not trying to compete. This is using players who could not make the NFL coming out of college and whatever, giving them an opportunity to still play and then showcase themselves into a point where they could possibly make it. So that's sort of a thing. They're getting rid of the onside kick.
The onside kick is always so much fun.
No, what they're going to do is have, instead of an onside kick, you get one chance to hit a 4th-and-10 play from the 35-yard line or something like that. And if you get the 10 yards, you keep the ball and you keep going. If not, you're giving the ball up and they only have like 30-something yards to go. So, you know, they're trying to do everything Vince probably wanted to do, but Vince couldn't do yet because he's a year out.
Yeah. And, I mean, let's be real. Ebersol worked on the 30 for 30 documentary, if I could speak tonight, with Vince. So it wouldn't be the least bit of surprise if he didn't take a few ideas from Vince and sort of the whole XFL concept, because you know Vince probably already had it, at least in mind when they did the documentary.
And
he may not have been ready to go, but he was probably looking at it at that point.
Like, they both probably had the idea. Like, Vince has been working on this. He announced it in, what, January. He had been working on it for, like, at least 6 months. They've been working on it for a year and a half, so they're a year ahead of the game. And they were able to secure stuff. And
yeah, the other big thing is the TV deal. That's huge.
That's the biggest part of it. They have a way to people for people to see it, and Vince didn't have it. And Vince can't now Vince is going to have to change the game plan, okay? So they're going in February. If we're going to do this, we got to go in April because you can't, they're not going to be able to compete.
No.
We'll see what happens with the XFL because we've heard nothing since the big announcement. So we'll see.
Yeah. The one thing that Bersall does not have going for him that Vince does, and that is the propaganda machine that is WWE. I understand that Vince did not want to tie the XFL back to the WWE, but desperate times call for desperate measures, and you have your most eyeballs on your wrestling product. So if you drop a couple XFL commercials in on your product, that won't hurt anybody.
No, one.
So, Ebersol does not have that, so Vince has an advantage there, but yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Mm-hmm, that's for sure.
If anything, you know, Vince might be smart to go in with Ebersol, but I doubt he would do that.
I doubt Vince won't do that.
So, oh well, sorry Vince. Sorry, that sucks. Moving on from there, we have Hall of Fame news.
Okay.
All right, I didn't know if you had a bumper or anything, so, all right, moving on from that. It was announced
Wait, we have Hall of Fame music? I didn't know we never had a Hall of Fame bumper yet.
We should have a Hall of Fame bumper just for these occasions.
I mean, it's a little late now.
Next year.
Okay.
You have a year to get it
someone
going.
Someone remind me once every week for next year.
Awesome. Hall of Fame. Anyway, moving on. It was announced that Mark Henry is the final entrant into this year's Hall of Fame, which is certainly well-deserved. Wrestling fans everywhere are clamoring for the Salmon Jacket because we will not believe Mark Henry is retired without that Salmon Jacket. We got played once. We will never get played again on that.
We have background music.
Ooh, we have background music. All right. We have the Hall of Fame background music. So, yes. So, congratulations to Mark Henry. It was also announced that Edge and Christian are going to induct the Dudleys, which should be a lot of fun.
There it is.
Pause so you can hear the...
the music.
Music. So...
They also want the Hardy Boys to be on stage as well.
Well, it depends how many Hardy Boys there are.
They're both still alive and kicking, as we saw on Monday.
They could have adopted a third. You don't know yet.
Okay. Yeah, okay, the weird thing, since it has to be tied back to the Attitude Era, that makes a certain someone Lita? Well, you know.
You know my feelings on him. You know what I call him if you listen to the show on a regular basis, so...
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
Just pointing it out.
That thong's gonna be awkward, though. Anyway, it's going. Oh, God, we're terrible, awful people. And last but certainly not least, in terms of the news, it was announced that they're going to be doing the Greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia, which is completely awesome, but we've got more details on it. The ladies will not be appearing at this event. They will not be wrestling due to restrictions from the loss of the land, which everybody understands, totally cool. And so to compensate, WWE is one, putting it on the network, which I'm very excited for because I kind of want to see this thing. There are going to be 7 title matches. Every title except for the women's titles will be on the line. And JR and the King are going to call this event.
Yeah. When it comes to the Greatest Royal Rumble, based on it's going to be airing live in Great Britain, that was announced. So by time-wise, it looking like that will be 1 p.m. Eastern on the 27th, when it would air, based on time-wise. That's on a Friday, too. It's not bad.
It is not bad.
It should be fun. All right, anyway.
I just had an evil thought, but I'll keep it to myself because I don't want to say it on the air. So, moving on from that, Mixed Match Challenge.
It is time to mix it up.
You don't scare me, big boy. But... you just listen to me and do exactly as I say, and we'll become Mixed Match Challenge champions. So, put her there.
It's the Mixed Match Challenge recap.
So sad.
This was not a good week for my favorites. Not at all.
So sad.
I mean, I'm not surprised by the outcome. For those of you that did not see it, it is Team Little Big versus Miz and Asuka. And in no real shock, Miz and Asuka pick up the win. Granted, it was a really competitive match, and Alexa did almost have Asuka a few times.
Oh, there was one more. It's like it was 2 and 3/4.
Does fall to Miz and Asuka.
So sad, because Team Lil Big was the best team in this whole entire thing.
I love them together. I really hope they continue it in some fashion on WWE television after WrestleMania. I don't know if they're going to, but there is potential there for something. Those two have amazing chemistry together.
I mean, we've been so invested in this relationship that's been building where they're going to go all the way, and then they got blocked. Sucks.
You don't chicken block.
You don't.
Braun Strowman. You don't.
Okay, because in the match, he did get chicken blocked.
He did get chicken blocked. There's one point in the match where Alexa grabs him by the beard, yanks him over, Braun really likes it, and they're getting ready to kiss, and Miz either grabs Braun or kicks Braun or does something to Braun that basically stops him from kissing Alexa. And then Braun Strowman has to break out the murder speed and kill The Miz by throwing him through the barricade wall.
Oh my god. Murder speed was in full effect. Not once, but like twice in this match.
Why do people run from Braun Strowman? Why? Why would you run from that man? He will catch you. His legs are twice as long as anybody's I've ever seen. He will catch you. Because for every four steps you take, he takes one.
And yeah, it's murder speed.
He can move, man. He can move.
But no, she did not just grab him by the beard. She fondled that beard.
She played with the beard.
She did. She
it got was a little not PG.
She got all up in it.
And Braun really liked it.
Oh, Braun really liked it.
He was like, ooh, we're going to smooch. And then, nope, he gets blocked. So.
And somewhere backstage, Buddy Murphy was screaming obscenities.
At the television.
At the television.
He's like, no!
But I would think say this was one of the best matches that we've seen in terms of actual wrestling.
Agreed.
It's a shame Asuka tapped out Alexa Bliss, but we knew that coming in.
Yeah, you kind of figured that's what was going to happen. I mean, again, I was really hoping that Asuka would lose on a technicality and somehow Alexa and Braun would go on. Just because I don't like the idea of Asuka and Charlotte facing each other right before WrestleMania, because that's a match that I believe you've never done.
It's the first time ever, and we're going to see it on the Mixed Match Challenge 5 days before
WrestleMania, so it's like, I don't know if I like them giving that away for free, so it'll be interesting to see if something happens that prevents it from occurring, but yeah, I would have preferred to see, like, Asuka lose on a technicality, and then it's,
Unless there's a major, there's a major upset next week, and there could be.
And there could be.
Because they put a nice pairing in there where you wouldn't be surprised there would be an upset.
You know, honestly, because it is such a sure thing, it's like, yeah, you know, you've got Finn and, Sasha in there, basically, as the second chance vote going up, facing off against Bobby Roode and Charlotte, so it makes sense that Charlotte would lose, and then that way you save the match with Asuka and you save the egg on your face. So yeah, I could see that Finn and Sasha potentially do beat Charlotte.
But that ruins the SmackDown Raw matchup. But it doesn't have to be SmackDown versus Raw. It doesn't have to be. It should work out that way, but it doesn't have to.
It doesn't have to. I think, you know, honestly, if they had not put Asuka in it, they could have probably narrowed it down to that. But yeah, it doesn't have to be Raw versus SmackDown. I think they'd like it to be, and it may end up being that, but it could be something that they keep very limited contact between Charlotte and Asuka, or something happens where maybe Asuka gets taken out or Miz gets taken. You know what could happen? Again, we're going to go into this because we can. Maurice goes into labor and Asuka does not have a partner. But and then, so they have to find somebody to replace Miz and Asuka.
No, LeMans, she's technically still Raw. She hasn't won the belt yet. When she wins the belt, then she's SmackDown. Because she's still a member of the Raw roster.
Yeah, it's when she beats Charlotte for the title, she'll move over. But yeah, I'm telling you, Maurice may go into labor.
But that still would be a loss for Asuka. Asuka's gonna win this, but you gotta get...
No, it's not a loss for her.
Yes, a forfeit's a loss.
It's not a forfeit. Yeah, if they get taken out...
If he cannot compete, it's a forfeit.
It's not a forfeit.
It's a forfeit. That's the definition. If you cannot compete, you forfeit the match.
It's only when the match is going on.
No, it's not. It's a forfeit. That's the definition.
They won't count it against her.
You want to make a bet? No, that's why they're going to win. But no, Finn and Sasha should win. I really hope they're not going to... Like, the big matchup is Charlotte and Asuka. If you blow that early, it's like, oh, that's just bad. booking.
They'll figure it out. They got this.
Unless they hold off the mixed match challenge till right after WrestleMania, but they won't.
They'd be smart too.
But they're not, because it's supposed to end the week before, so yeah. And even then it's stupid to put them against each other 2 days after WrestleMania. Either way, it's stupid booking either way.
No, because then you can essentially do a rematch between the two without having to do the rematch, and then that way you get more longevity out of the feud. But yeah, well, I mean, okay, so here's sticking with the Maurice goes into labor, they have to postpone the match until Miz can come and wrestle.
No, can't do that.
Yes, you can. Sure, you can.
No, you can't. No, can't.
They'll figure it out.
Let's go, Finn and Sasha. Let's go. Get that W.
Get that W. Mama needs the points of fantasy.
Get that W.
Anyway, let's take our first break of the evening, because that does it for the Mixed Match Challenge. And when we come back, I'm gonna cry over the final deletion. I promise, not too many tears. Ultimate deletion, whatever. Final, ultimate, whatever. I'm going to cry over it because Matt Hardy hurt my boo-boo.
Yes.
You're grounded. Anyway, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Hey, I wanna taste. You're a black heart devil and I can't explain why I'm waiting for your face. You're a hotel lover on the back end of this race. Every night she seems to change her name. Doesn't matter who you really are.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Instagram. Instagram.com/RackRadioShow.
Get chatty with CB Radio. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/CB Radio Live.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/RackRadioShow.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This week, as a part of the Rack Extra Reviews The Royals, we are joined by a very special guest. The King himself, King Robert, a.k.a. Max Brown, joins the show to talk all things Season 4.
The fact that he pretends he's English and he's American and all the kind of the circumstances he arrived in the palace. On paper, he's not the greatest guy in the world, but, you know, if you've watched the seasons from the start, he's a lovable rogue, and I get why the fans love him. But to be honest, if you were that big brother like Robert is to his sister, Princess Eleanor, you'd probably protect her from Jasper. So I just ask people to look deep inside their own moral standards and see if he would be a good contender to date your daughter or your sister.
Check it all out this week on the Rack Extra Reviews The Royals right here at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
Yes, this is Broken Matt Hardy, and you are listening to The Rock Radio Show. Please tune in every dent you get. I find it absolutely wonderful.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at GirlWork.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com. And you just had to play that damn bumper, didn't you?
Yes.
You just had to do it.
Well, it fits.
He's canceled. He's canceled from the show.
No.
He hurt my boo-boo!
Did he, though?
Yes!
Did he? Or did he help him?
Help remains to be seen. Because I'm not going to lie, I'm a little scared of what's going to come out of this. I don't know what's coming out of this. It could be either really messed up and really cool, or it could be really terrifyingly bad. There is going to be no tweener on this. No. Or we could get Husky Harris again.
We're not getting Husky Harris again. Your fears could be, forgot about that one. That's not going
to
happen.
I just love that they refuse to acknowledge Husky Harris to the point that when they throw Bray Wyatt into the Lake of Reincarnation, nothing comes out.
Nope, he's dead. There's no soul, no body, no nothing. I want to drop some numbers on you before we really get into the topic.
Okay.
The original Final Deletion, like almost 1.8 million views on YouTube, right? The TV show did, close to 400,000 viewers for Impact. Monday Night Raw did 3 million viewers by the time it ended.
It's pretty good.
And that ends on the, Ultimate Deletion segment. The final 2 minutes of Ultimate Deletion, already up to 2.1 million views on YouTube. Just the final 2 minutes alone. It's a lot of people watching this thing that they've never seen before. For as viral of a sensation as Final Deletion was, it was big for Impact. It was a viral thing for Impact, but more people are seeing it now. Just wanted to throw those numbers out. I looked them up earlier. It's like, it's very interesting.
WWE did everything right with this.
Except for apologizing before it aired. I heard about it, but because I didn't hear it on Monday, I went back and watched it today. They actually apologized for what we would see. It's like, we kind of agree with it, but we don't really agree with it.
Basically, that was Vince.
It was Vince going, I don't really get this, but hey, we're going to do it.
We're going to do the thing anyway, because why not? And we know most of you are sober, and you're not going to understand this sober. Because to really enjoy, I feel like, any of the deletion things, one needs to be under the influence of alcohol.
If you've gone back and heard one, I don't know if even still on the internet. I think where we had it's no longer there. But the WTRF show we did in the day where we did Ultimate Final Deletion.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
And we all, and it was Omega, you, myself, and I think Brent was there.
Yep.
We all just sat there for 15 minutes like, what the hell is this? And that was pretty much what this was. We did a more in-depth recap on Monday, so we're not going to rehash it here. So if you want to hear the recap of the Ultimate Deletion, check out the Rob Poe Show in the archives at wildtalkradio.com, and we will tell you all about it. And you will hear the initial reaction, which is basically WTF, what did we just watch, to the Ultimate Deletion. But WWE did this right, where they aired it at the end of the show. It was the main event of the show, which I really didn't appreciate, because at that point in time, we had tornadic thunderstorms in the area. I had one eye on the Weather Channel, and I had one eye on Raw, and it was like, oh god, please don't let a tornado hit, because I was getting a little antsy, because I didn't want to lose power and miss it. So it's like, can we just put it on the air already? But anyway, they put it on the air at the very end of the show, which was smart. They did not air it in the live arena. The live arena got Ronda Rousey and Braun Killing Elias.
MK.
So the arena didn't even see it. So if you were at the show, you had to go home and watch it, which is very smart because that boosts your DVR numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You aired segments throughout the show to tease it, but they didn't start the segments till halfway through the 9 o'clock hour.
Maybe.
Or they started them at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. You didn't really hear anything about it or really see a lot about it until they were getting up to it. I mean, obviously they talked about it on the show and they're like, oh yeah, Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt in the Ultimate Deletion, da 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 da. They showed the little graphic, but that was all they would show. And then as they got closer to it, we went to Casa de Hardy and we saw Rebby and the fam and Senior Benjamin and everybody at the piano and, Matt talking about deleting Bray Wyatt and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm. There were a couple throughout the night, yeah.
Yeah, there were two or three, I think. And then we get to the actual match, and the production values on this were insane.
Michael Hayes was also a producer on this.
That makes so much sense.
Doesn't it?
This just makes so much sense. But no, they had a production budget from this. You could tell, because one, they took the good cameras down there. But two, they actually did a very faithful recreation of the Final Deletion, and really the other Total Nonstop Action Deletion as well.
And Deleter Decay.
And Deleter Decay. Like, they really did a faithful recreation and kind of combined all three of those together with better production values. I mean, but it was still, it's like the ring was still in the middle of the woods with the tiki torches. We have Vanguard 1 with the hologram.
Yeah, everything you wanted.
We had fireworks, which scared the crap out of Bray Wyatt, because he was like, what the hell? But what was cool about this was what they added to it was they created what is called Dilapidated City, where they reference back to the cult compound in Abigail's house, which got burned by Randy Orton, and it was recreated at the Hardy compound, so, you know, Bray can move right in. Convenient.
Very convenient.
He has a lake that, you know, he could go swimming in whenever he wants.
Yeah.
And then, like we said, at the very end of the match, if you blinked, like I did, and you missed him, Jeff Hardy was there. But yeah, so it ends up with Bray having...
Get it right. It was Brother Nero.
Yes, Brother Nero was there with his contact lenses and everything, and Bray Wyatt ends up going into the Lake of Reincarnation, which I audibly gasped at, because it was like, oh god, what is gonna come out?
And when nothing came out, she was like, what now? Where do we go? What's going on? Where's Bray?
My god. Where's my boo-boo?
Where is Bray Wyatt? Where is the man that I have a shrine to? Where is that man?
It's not a real shrine.
No, it's a Halloween shrine. I know.
It was for Halloween, but...
It's on our Instagram, instagram.com/recreation.
Yes, it is. You can tell it's not a real shrine because praying to it did not work. So then you build up to the moment Bray Wyatt goes in the lake and Matt Hardy defeats Bray Wyatt in the Ultimate Deletion. And I like, you know, I don't like that Bray lost, but I like how they did it as a whole. And another smart thing was you had 2/3 of the original. Really, actually, almost, you had all three of them there. And I wouldn't be surprised if Jeff Hardy, Brother Nero, didn't input into this in some way, but you had Jeremy Borash, Matt Hardy, and Bray Wyatt, at the very least, all inputting their ideas into this.
And now Michael Hayes.
Which, to create this. But what's cool is you had the original creative minds behind it there. And that's why I think it was so faithful to it, was because you had JB producing it, you had Matt Hardy involved, you had Jeff Hardy involved, and then Bray Wyatt got to throw some stuff into, I imagine. My only issue with it, I didn't like the Benny Hill stuff.
No.
I don't like the idea of Bray Wyatt being a joke, and I feel like he's been the butt of a joke for a while now, and so the Benny Hill stuff just kind of was like, I don't know, like, it was cute, and it was quirky, but ultimately, when you really look at the entire match, you had Bray really trying to be dark and sinister, like, he had flashbacks to the house burning down and everything, and summoning Abigail, and all that other kind of stuff, and then you do the Benny Hill stuff, and it's just like, I don't know.
But now where do you go with Bray Wyatt? What do you do? How do you do that?
Well, there's a couple options that you can go with him. You can bring him back and basically claim Abigail protected him in the Lake of Reincarnation, or he reincarnates, like, you kind of have him reincarnate. You could just do something really spooky and have him reincarnate out of Abigail's grave, basically. And he comes back more evil and more sinister than he's ever been, but I don't know if they can really get away with that. You can obviously have him become Matt's bitch, and they become a tag team, and they win tag team titles. They can do that. Or we could see the terrifying Sister Abigail, because these two are going to meet again. And I have a funny feeling Bray Wyatt is going to get his win back at some point. Now, whether it's directly after this or whether it's months down the line, we don't know.
No, we don't.
But obviously Bray Wyatt, wherever he's gone, because when he hits the Lake of Reincarnation, we see him go in the lake. There's no body. There's nothing there. So either he teleported, right, you know, as he hit the water, or Abigail got him out of there afterwards or something. Who knows? But there will be an explanation. Either way, I would hold him off TV. And maybe have him show up at Mania.
I hold him off TV. I hold him off house shows. I just make him invisible for 2 weeks now? 2 weeks?
2-3 weeks, something like that.
You have him be invisible. You have him disappear for a little bit and sort of freshen up the character a little bit. Sort of just let him take a moment, take a step back, and you reevaluate where the character is and where the character is going and how are you going to portray the character. This is a WWE world. I don't expect him to come back much different. I would hope he has the sense, because he normally does, to change his own look.
He's pretty in tune with that kind of stuff, and I think he probably is ready to do that. I hope he doesn't drastically change it, because if he comes out there with short hair and no beard, there ain't gonna be nobody that knows who he is. We're all gonna stand there and be like, what? It's gonna be that, like that time Taker shaved his head and we all looked at him like he was stupid for 15 minutes. It's gonna be kind of one of those. So... except for me. I cried.
She did.
So, I mean, Bray is pretty in tune and he's pretty in key, and I think he's ready to retool the character because I do agree with the fact that the character as it is right now, I don't feel it has gone as far as it could go, but it has gone as far as they're going to let it go for the time being. They're not going to let him do much else, and he's really limited in terms of the product, especially on his own, with what he can do with it. I mean, the character has always really been better suited to be in a non-wrestling environment because he's a psychotic cult leader that kills people. Let's all be completely honest about that. It's not even remotely in the dark that that's who he is. So trying to fit that into a wrestling environment, they've done a good job with that, but I feel like he's lost that because obviously he has no family.
And he needs a family.
And he needs a family.
He really does. Like, that's what needs to come back. Whether he gets his boys back or he finds new boys, which is probably what's going to happen. What should happen is get new followers. You recreate what worked. And you go away from what doesn't work. Right on his own does not work because he preaches the message. And if there's no one following his message is just hitting deaf ears. You need people to buy in. And when you have characters buying in with him, he works better. Should he be a singles wrestler? Yes. But he needs the followers back him up.
I still I've always liked the idea of putting plants in the audience, and Bray takes those plants out of the audience and he inducts them to the family. Very similar to what the Straight Edge Society did, where they pulled Serena Deeb out of the audience to put plants in the audience and have Bray recruit people, you know, where he recruits them by stealing them away or have him take crew members or things of that nature. Because you're right, his message is falling on deaf ears, but he's also stopped preaching his message because I think he's lost it. He doesn't know what his message is anymore, or they don't know what his message should be because he's pretty much been in a holding pattern for about a year now. And they don't know quite where to point him. They pointed him at Finn, and that sort of worked out, sort of didn't work out. Then he got the mysterious illness, which spared us all Sister Abigail. Still say that was divine intervention. You will not convince me otherwise.
Uh-huh.
And after Finn, he did Seth, and Seth was just kind of sort of eh.
No, before that, Seth was first.
Oh, Seth was first? Okay, so they did Seth, they did Finn, and then now Bray's just sort of been flirting with Matt. And the Matt feud, this gave it that splash that it needed. And I said this on Monday, but otherwise, the feud with Matt's been very lackluster.
Because, and I think that's a WWE thing where they don't want to go full on with Matt Hardy. It's not Bray's side, because Bray is well-liked. It's the Matt Hardy gimmick, it's because it's not theirs. So it's WWE's having to buy into it. And that always is an issue with WWE, which is why we haven't seen much of it until Monday.
But if you're gonna do it, do it. Don't half-ass it. Don't try to tweak it. Don't try to hold it back. The whole thing about Broken, Woken, Matt Hardy is it is over the top. It makes no sense to anybody. That's why it works. Is because it's like watching a car crash. You can't look away from it. Now, whether you love it or hate it, that's up to you, but a lot of people love it because it is just that ridiculous that you're like, okay, yeah, this is kind of cool. You know, it's so bad it's good thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. And Matt knows that. And Matt knows exactly what to do with it because he created it. And they've tried, but they have really, I feel like what the magic of that whole gimmick was him and Jeff. Because it was the whole feud between him and Jeff that's mm-hmm. sold that made that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was him and Jeff Hardy running around the Hardy compound for 10-15 minutes doing every stupid thing conceivable in that 15 minutes. And granted, you had Bray and you had Matt running around the Hardy compound for about 15 minutes doing most things idiotic that you can conceive of within reason. Bray Wyatt is regretting his life choices for falling on that ladder. I have no doubt of that.
But here's the thing. At some point, that has to evolve too. And that's the thing with it. The Broken, Woken gimmick has a lifespan as well. Why did it work in Impact? Because it was something new and different. It caught people's attention when the product itself wasn't catching people's attention. Right now, we're at WrestleMania season, and it's hard for this to catch people's full attention because there's so much else going on. And that's the differences between WWE and Impact. That was their main focus.
They should have done Bray and Matt at Rumble. They should have just gone ahead and done it and get it out of the way and do the Ultimate Deletion and do whatever you're going to do with that and then either have them fight again at Mania in the arena or have them go for the tag titles, which is what they're rumored they're going to do.
Or they were.
Or they were.
Till Braun got his title shot.
Till Braun got his title shot, so that's out. So it's like, whatever's going to happen is going to happen at Mania, potentially, but you don't know what. So it's like, is Bray Wyatt going to re-debut? Is he going to come back as Sister Abigail? We don't know. Nobody knows what's going to happen with this. But yeah, it's like, Matt has a shelf life as well, and I think that's partially why they're trying to dial this back a little bit, is because they understand the character does have that shelf life, and they don't want it to burn out too quickly, because now it's, okay, what do we do with him?
Mm.
He can't be... Can he be unwoken, Matt? Can he just go back to being Matt Hardy?
No, because we saw that last year, and when Jeff got hurt, it wasn't any good.
Yeah, so they... When Jeff got hurt, that basically accelerated Woken Matt Hardy, and they hit the okay, let's do it button, and that's why this feud has sort of stalled out, is because they had to go for it when Jeff got hurt versus probably when they wanted to, which was, I would guess, at Mania. Like they were, or not Mania, at Rumble, and they were building to that, and then Jeff got hurt, and it's like, crap. So, but yeah, I mean, overall, it was fine. I'm still not any more of a fan of it than I was the first time I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some good moments in it. You got to see Bray be positively sinister in it. There was Chair of Wheels, Mower of Lawn, that whole debate, which is now a meme.
It's tremendous.
We had Bray with the whole world in his hands.
Tremendous.
I just kind of thought about it, but it's like Hardy had Senior Benjamin, he had Jeff there, he had Rebby there, which, by the way, huge props to Rebby for learning and playing Broken Out of Love.
She put a behind-the-scenes video of her doing the whole song on her YouTube channel. Pretty cool.
It's awesome. So, major, major props to her for playing him to the ring. It was tremendous. But yeah, I mean, I can see Bray totally coming back with a family in tow. I wouldn't want it to be the Bludgeon Brothers, simply because it's time to move them past it. I mean, I will always, like, stand for my family and always be happy to see them together, but Luke and Eric have their own thing going now, and it's picking up steam.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put them back with Bray. You have plenty of people down in NXT that you can find for Bray.
Oh yeah, you have plenty of people. Yeah, you don't put them back together, you find other people. Because they're ready to move on, and so is he. So
they need titles.
They do. We'll get to that at some point.
We will get to that, but yeah. So, those are our thoughts on the Ultimate Deletion. See, no tears about Bray Wyatt, but whatever happens, God help us all, in terms of what comes out of that man's mind, because he's a genius and he's a madman all at the same time. So, and that's why I love him so much. So anyway, we're going to take our final break of the evening, and when we come back, we are going to do SmackDown NXT Tweet of the Week, and we will be filling you in all about Daniel Bryan. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Yes, it is!
This WrestleMania season has just become Bootyful! As we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network present to you WrestleMania WTR Pick'em with a very special gift. The Book of Booty! One lucky winner will be receiving a copy of the brand new book, The Book of Booty, thanks to our friends at St. Martin's Press. And did we mention, it's signed by the members of New Day? What? How do you win this fantastic thing? All you gotta do is win WrestleMania WTR Pick'em. It's that simple. There are a few ways to enter. Go to each show's respective Facebook page, including facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network or facebook.com/Rock Radio Show, or you can go to our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network, or you can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio or at Rack Radio Show. Submit your picks and you're in. Just make sure your picks aren't booty. It's WTR WrestleMania Pick'em with the Book of Booty giveaway.
Because
what?
New Day rocks! New Day rocks!
Get chatty with CB Radio. Tweet us at twitter.com/CB Radio Live. And while you're at it, tweet me, twitter.com/Lone Jobber.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with The Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Rack Radio Show.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana of the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to The Rack Radio Show on the Wildcat Network.
Wild Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to The Rack Radio on the Wildcat Radio Network.
Wild Talk.
Motherfucker.
I don't know. I think we should keep it. I think it's funny.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to Rack Radio on Wild Talk Radio.
Perfect.
Wait, I'll do Rack Radio Show, sorry. All right, okay. One more time. Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to the Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio. Take four. I'm going to take four fast.
No, I don't feel so bad. And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Kerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, or RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com as well. And well, wrestling fans have never been happier to hear that music. And we're going to be talking all about Daniel Bryan here in a little bit. But first, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Tomas also Ciampa. My very first job was working as a stock boy at Toys R Us. I still remember my boss laughing at me when I told him I was just trying to save up enough money to pay for wrestling school. Look who's laughing now. And it's the gif of him waving.
Oh, Rob. Oh, Rob.
Rob. Rob. But also Tommaso.
Also Tommaso. But Rob, really?
I mean, aptly timed, Rob. But, dude, that was not cool. All right, so Daisy Hilburn tweeted out, legendary facts. And it's a gif, or it's a picture of, basically, SpongeBob SquarePants inspired, where it's the Krusty Krab, but it has Texas Roadhouse on it. And then it's whatever the bucket restaurant is, and it has Outback Steakhouse on it. So Texas Roadhouse replies, we will not comment on this, but we will just leave this here. Outback Steakhouse replied with a Patrick meme that goes, when you see Texas Roadhouse trying to throw shade, but they're too scared to at you. And Texas Roadhouse replies, when your comebacks are as dry as the steaks you serve. Ouch.
Burn.
Roy Mustang, aka La Flame Alchemist, tweets, at Texas Roadhouse, what do I need to do to get a year's supply of rolls? I literally wear a Texas Roadhouse t-shirt. God, I can't talk tonight. I'll literally wear a Texas Roadhouse t-shirt every day if need be. They respond, you do know they're free, right? You just go in every day and get free rolls. Duh. Sarah tweets out, gee, Shamey, what are we going to do tonight? The same thing we do every night, Tony. Try to take over the world! And Seamus replies, sorry, Big Tony. No, your mohawk will not grow in time for Mania. But, sorry, bro. I love that they caption their own pictures.
It's tremendous.
And that they have nicknames for each other. Big Tony and Shamey.
Mm-hmm.
That's adorable. Seamus tweets out, we want answers! Hashtag Raw tonight. And the result of that is, glad everything got clarified on Raw. Hashtag still in the dark. And Sarah Logan responded to WWE when they tweeted out, don't miss the WWE 24 Empowered, which is awesome, by the way. Immediately following Raw tonight, only on the award-winning WWE Network. And Sarah Logan replies, tune in to see the Women's Royal Rumble coverage. And me being a little awkward.
She was a little awkward. Adorably awkward, but awkward nonetheless.
She is adorable. She's absolutely adorable. But yeah, totally should go check that out because it's amazing. Not Sarah Logan the Awkward, but the documentary. Anyway, that's all I got.
Macaulay Culkin, breaking news. I'm officially accepting Rusev's challenge to wrestle him at this year's WrestleMania. You heard it here first, folks. Come at me, bro. Rusev, I cannot hit little Kevin McAllister or Richie Rich. Macaulay Culkin replies, it's cool. I'd be doing all the hitting anyway.
Ooh.
Hashtag, you just got culked.
Culked?
Culked, yeah. Culkin. Dakota Kai, been living in the USA for almost 10 months and went to get in the car on the right side today.
Oh, Dakota.
Rockstar Spud, aka Drake Maverick, happens every day. Dakota replies, the struggle is real. So what are the song lyrics to Bray's song again? Broken Out of Love?
Uh-huh.
Matt Hardy goes, Bray won't see the sun again for years to come. He's broken out in love.
Matt!
EC3 replies to WWE's breaking news about Daniel Bryan. Good, I've been meaning to punch him in the face for years now.
Ethan!
God! Vacan replies, my arch nemesis is back, just as I presume. Welcome back! Trevor Dame. Vince McMahon so distraught about the news of the XFL competitor, he's like, F it, let Daniel Bryan wrestle again. What does it matter anymore? Life has no meaning. Dreams are pointless. Renee Young, so happy for Daniel Bryan. Can't wait to hear the crowd react when Sweet Beats makes his entrance. Wendy's was asked, what do you think about Daniel Bryan returning? Is there any other way to react than yes times a million? Now let's get that Nakamura match. Good job, Wendy's.
Good job, Wendy's. Yeah, whoever runs the Wendy's Twitter, total wrestling fan.
Burger King just tweets, yes, 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 about 20 times. Because, you know, reason. Lance Bass, my new official favorite cereal, someone called Tiger Beat and Bop Stat. He's holding a box of Bootios. Austin Creed goes, when your favorite member of NSYNC, Lance Bass, is a fan of your cereal. I'm not losing it right now. You are.
And finally, aw, Xavier.
Finally, open challenge. Ciampa goes, open challenge. I will fight any grandma, any day, any time. Hashtag, grandmas don't scare me.
That NSC grandma's going to whoop you, Tommaso.
And we'll get to that here in a bit. But that's Tweet of the Week.
So do we want to do Daniel Bryan or do we want to do SmackDown and NXT first?
Well, Daniel Bryan is SmackDown.
All right, well, let's do SmackDown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown. Showdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Because basically that's what this show was built around, was Daniel Bryan.
And his triumphant return to the ring. So it got announced that Tuesday, or this past Tuesday, I should say, not that Tuesday, that Daniel Bryan had been cleared for in-ring action. And there's just a couple notes on this before we jump into SmackDown. And the biggest one going around is obviously that WWE accelerated the timeline for when they were going to announce this. They chose last night as opposed to right before WrestleMania, which we had all been kind of guessing that if this happens, that's what they were going to do, because they were conveniently going to be in Pittsburgh. Like, what, the week before WrestleMania? Something like that?
This Tuesday.
This coming Tuesday. So yeah, it's like, oh hey, they could totally announce that Daniel Bryan's cleared if they're going to do it. Because they could just sneak him into the doctor's office and, well, nope, they beat us all to the punch. And they're like, hey, Daniel Bryan's good to go. So he wasn't kidding about the multiple doctors thing.
He's been seeing doctors and doing treatments. He's been doing hyperbaric chamber treatments for about 6 months to a year now to really get his body back in shape, get his head back in order. And yeah, he worked hard and he got what he wanted. He legit found out, like, there's people think there's this legit plan to have him in WrestleMania in a tag match. That was always a hope, but you know, they had other plans. He legit found out Monday night he was finally cleared.
And you know, he felt amazing about that. A couple things on his return. He has agreed to do concussion testing every time he wrestles. Basically, after the match, they'll put him through the test to ensure that he does not have a concussion and he's okay until they feel comfortable enough with him that they don't need to do it anymore. But it's just that initial concern of, all right, we're going to make sure you're okay for the first few times, just until everybody feels okay, because basically it's the trust factor in that he's going to tell them when he has a concussion, and they're just, I think, a little concerned he's not going to. So they're going to make sure that if one happens, that it can be caught in time.
Right. He set a new baseline for his testing. It's probably very high, so once it starts dipping a little bit, they have to reevaluate and see where it goes. Because the key to the impact testing is you need it always to be low. That way, when you do suffer a concussion, they really can't tell. But he had to prove the opposite. So he had to prove really healthy. So whenever something wavers, they may take a step back, pull him back a little bit, and then, you know, ramp him back up. It's going to be a day-by-day, week-by-week thing. Probably go on for a little while before they feel comfortable with it. But he's agreed to do all that. So that's good. It's the impact testing, and I think there's one other test he's agreed to.
Yeah. And just so everybody's aware, the schedule is looking like right now it's probably going to be about the Randy Orton schedule, where he does SmackDown, the pay-per-views, and some house show, but he's not doing the full-time schedule. They are going to limit him a little bit.
Yeah, he's not doing 300 dates a year. He's just going to be Randy Orton. Work out house show once a month or a week or two a month and see where it go from there.
Yeah, so congratulations to Brian. It's amazing news. And Seth Rollins tweeted out that this is huge for recovering athletes. And basically, this is something that can be studied to potentially help athletes who have a similar problem that Brian does potentially heal it.
Yeah, it's big, especially for the NFL.
It's huge. I mean, this is really... if you do not understand how big this is, basically, he got told he will never wrestle again because he is concussion prone and he has mental issues because of the concussions. And so thanks to the treatments that he's done, he's been able to reverse some of those effects of years of wrestling, get himself back into a point where he is okay to do what he loves again. So you could then take NFL players and apply it to NFL players and see if that helps them with their issues as well. I mean, it's a breakthrough on a lot of levels, which is so cool.
He's a human guinea pig at this point.
And it's likely he's going to continue the treatments as much as possible to maintain that baseline.
Yeah. Which he should.
So, diving into SmackDown, based on that, Daniel Bryan was out first, and he gave a really impassioned speech about how happy he was and kind of told the whole story. We got a welcome back chant. We got a you deserve a chant. We got a thank you, Brie, because Brie was the one that really pushed him to go for it. And, you know, if this is what you want to do, do the thing, man. Do the thing, and she was there with him the whole way. So we got that from Brian, and he choked up a couple times, rightfully so.
Every time he mentioned Brie, he choked up.
Which was so sweet.
He talked about being grateful, and he's been grateful for the last 2 years. And that was the key to his speech, being grateful. And the key line that came out of it, fight for your dreams will fight for you.
That's going on a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. That's an inspirational moment right there. And that's all that's all him. That's his wording. That's him, everything. He set Dave's video on YouTube. He's coming up with a speech. But yeah, that's all him.
So, but Daniel Bryan was not done there. He had another thing he had to address,
Hold on, before we get to that, there's one other thing from the beginning. Where he comes out, where they're all starting, you know, he doesn't know when he's going to wrestle.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't know when or where. And then the fans turn, point, and chant WrestleMania.
Yep.
They all pointed to the sign, which was tremendous.
And Brian's like,
we'll see.
Maybe.
I don't know. But yeah, he pointed to the sign. They all pointed to the sign for him. That was tremendous. Anyway, it was
great. So Daniel Bryan's not done there. Basically, he says he also has to deal with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn from last week, but they're not here yet. So he's going to give his speech anyway. And so he does speech. We get the WrestleMania chant. Brian's like, maybe, and then he goes to the back. So it was a great opening segment. I feel like this ran just a little bit long because they just had Brian go out there and talk, and he was having trouble because it was such an emotional moment for him. But it's like they just let him have the time that he needed to have to do this. Because it's, again, this is a monumental moment in wrestling, in sports, in medicine, all of it, that he is able to return to the ring. And he's able to essentially go back full time if he wanted to, but I don't think he wants to. That's the key to the schedule.
No, he doesn't want to be full time, but he wants to be active. You had a comment about Corey Graves.
Yeah, the only sad thing about this was when they were panning across in the beginning of the show, they showed Corey Graves and all the announcers standing there applauding as Brian's coming out. And you see the look on Corey Graves' face. And for those of you that don't know, Corey Graves was retired.
He was forced to retire.
He was medically disqualified for essentially the same thing that Brian had or has, where Corey Graves is concussion prone as well. And so he got a really bad concussion and they were not going to clear him after it. And so that's why he is an announcer now, as he had time left on his contract. So they found him something else to do. And so that's now where he's at. But you saw Corey Graves' face and you know he's thrilled for Brian. He's super happy for him. But he's standing there with the look on his face like, God damn it, I wish that was me.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it.
Yeah.
You can just see it. And you feel bad for him because you're like, oh, that sucks, dude. But at the same time, he's probably had more success behind the announcer's desk than he probably ever would have in the ring.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Quickly writing down things that happened. Shinsuke Nakamura beat Rusev. Aiden English and Rusev attacked Shinsuke afterwards. AJ Styles slowly got up out of his chair. You know, the U.S. champion, according to the graphic.
That was a botch.
Yeah, it's the WWE champion with the U.S. title right there. He got up slowly, and sort of didn't help, because Nakamura already survived afterwards without his help. And they were backstage, and Shinsuke was like, I didn't need your help.
Right.
Ty Dillinger lost to Baron Corbin. Yay. I think this was the first time in forever Baron Corbin wrestled shirtless.
I think it's the first time in forever we've seen Ty Dillinger.
It's been a minute
on Ty. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. Where has he been?
Charlotte and Natty, again, had a really good match with a controversial finish.
Yeah.
So Carmella comes out. She tries to cash in. She gets taken out by Charlotte. Natty rolled her up for the win. I liked the finish. And I thought it was... Charlotte shouldn't be losing going into WrestleMania, especially to Natty. But I think this was more about what could possibly setting the table for what's going to happen to WrestleMania, where Carmella's going to try to cash in during that match. I think that's what they were trying to set up here. Rather than put Natty over, it's more what will Carmella do.
I would agree with that.
But Charlotte shouldn't have taken a loss.
But I feel like it's an acceptable loss for her because it's a screw job. It's not she lost clean, there were shenanigans, so that I think is allowed. Now, you don't do that too much.
No, but again, this goes back to the mixed match challenge. She's going to end up losing there too, so it's like, you know, gotta be careful when she loses matches.
Anyway.
She's the champion, she shouldn't be losing matches like that. Jimmy Uso lost to Luke Harper. Thoughts?
Thank you for the points. You could tell they were running long on this show because they cut to commercial during the Bludgeon Brothers entrance, and I was like, wait a minute, that's like the best part of SmackDown right there is the Bludgeon Brothers. They come out with their hammers, and they do their whole scary bit, and I love them. And so, at least we got the split screen for their entrance and for the start of the match. Luke Harper, I feel like, has lost more weight.
He has.
He's getting skinny.
It's okay. He has to fit in gear now. That's why.
But even, like, the top, when they first debuted the Bludgeon Brothers gimmick, I feel like the top was a lot tighter on him, and now it's not. It's a lot looser, so... Boy needs to eat. What I'm saying. Somebody needs to feed him. Eric, you need to feed your brother. You need to share the dinner. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this was a good contest. Again, they're doing a nice job of building up to the Usos versus the Bludgeon Brothers, which is going to happen at Mania.
With
the New Day. So I really liked this quite a bit. Because we got to see the Bludgeon Brothers for more than a minute. Luke had a very competitive match.
Yeah. Jinder Mahal was officially announced as part of the US title match at WrestleMania. Yay. We had a three-way promo. Yay. And... it's Jinder. He got laid out. The Singh brother got laid out, but that's a thing. It is what it is.
It happened.
Becky Lynch and Naomi defeat the Riot Squad. And then we get to the main event segment. Daniel Bryan comes out and he finally calls out Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, who finally got to the building. They were late because they got pulled over by Walker Texas Ranger for going 10 to 15 miles per hour speed limit. But, you know, everyone's dumb in Texas. So they wouldn't have missed this for the world. Because they're the biggest supporter since day one. They told him he was fair when everyone else hated them. Sammy brought up that Shane's personal vendetta and how Brian understood them no matter what else, that what no one else was. Sammy was talking, continue on about that any show with Daniel Bryan, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens is a dream show, and they would make the dream team. Brian said he appreciates it all, but it's not exactly why he brought him out here. He showed up what happened last week with Shane getting attacked. Brian asked him if they thought that was funny. Owen said they were man enough to admit they got carried away. Sammy said that Brian has to know that he kind of deserved it. Brian, tell him, you know what you did is a big deal. Like, Shane was right. He was living vicariously through them. He was right. They've known each other for 15 years, and when they succeed, it made him excited. But he doesn't understand that despite Shane coming out and giving them what they wanted, he was leaving. He admitted he was wrong. And he gave them a match together at WrestleMania. He then asked them to think, imagine 10 years ago if we were in an armory together, being offered a match at WrestleMania. How crazy would that have been to sound it? And then Brian's like, I'm sorry. I've been fired from this company twice, and I've come back a better man. He was sorry, but they were fired. They all shook hands, and then they go to beat down Daniel Bryan.
Which made him so happy. You know it did.
But this little man, this big ball of fluffy fury, got up, and he fought back. He had a German suplex to Sami Zayn. He had his running dropkicks in the corner, and by golly, he got full heads of steam, and he ran and kicked them in the faces with those dropkicks. He ran right into them.
And he was having the time of his damn life.
But then he got beaten down. Super kicked him. Haluva kicked. Tossed him to the outside. Powerbomb onto the ring apron. You could see he's in pain, but you know deep down inside, this was the greatest moment in his life since his child's been born. He got to wrestle. He got to fight again. This was tremendous. I enjoyed it. It was the perfect angle to welcome him back with. He only had a few hours notice to go, hey, you're getting physical tonight. And they did that. But now Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have been fired. Kevin Owens is now known as Fight Steen Fight again.
Just kayfabe.
And we'll see where it goes. It's probably leading to a tag match at WrestleMania. It's going to be a lot of fun. Daniel Bryan is back. Holy crap. Daniel Bryan's back.
The roof is going to blow off that building when he comes out at Mania. But I want to talk about some of the subtle things in this, and really the acting in this. Because you know, deep down, Kevin and Sammy are absolutely thrilled for Bryan. Everybody is. Like, everybody is super thrilled for him.
Yep.
And, you know, in this moment, they have to be thrilled for him, but at the same time, they have to play their part. And they do this so well. And there's that agony between Kevin and Sammy as they're beating up Bryan, where they're beating him down because this has happened. And you just see it in them where it's like, they really don't want to do this. Because this is their friend. This is their idol. This is someone that they've both, you know, hit the road with and looked up to over the years, but they have to do it. And there was just, it's like when Sammy does the haluva kick and Kevin's holding Bryan up and Sammy's really hesitant because he doesn't want to kick Bryan, and Kevin screams at him, do it, hit him. And Sammy does it, but he feels like instant regret for doing it because he didn't want to. It's just little crap like that in this that just made this so perfect. There was some A+ acting going on in this. A+.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Kevin just does Fury so well.
Yeah, it does.
So this whole segment was tremendous, but the biggest thing was Bryan got beat up. And I have to say, bravo to the Mixed Match Challenge for being serious as they're stretching Bryan off, because, you know, last week we were all smiles when Shane McMahon got beat up. But this week it's like, oh, we're going to be super serious for Bryan. So clearly Bryan is the hashtag favorite.
And it was happening right in front of them. That was a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, it was. but still. So, I think that does it for SmackDown, unless you have any final thoughts.
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, I think that does it for the show. Oh, wait.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
NXT. It's like I'm sitting here and I'm going over it in my brain. It's like we talked about Daniel Bryan. We did Tweet of the Week. We did SmackDown. Okay, what am I missing? Missing something. NXT. Duh. Of course. How could I forget NXT? Because the Peter Roddy Strong bromance, whatever you want to call this, continues. And I love the hell out of it.
Talk about it.
So basically, they announced Mustache Mountain is out of the tournament, the Dusty Tournament, because Tyler tweaked his knee. So Roger Strong asked William Regal, hey, can I be in the tournament if I find a partner? And of course Regal's like, yeah, sure, do whatever you want. I don't care. So this leads to Undisputed Era basically topping crap about Roderick Strong, saying, oh, he's not a tag team guy. And, you know, even if he finds a partner, we're going to totally beat him up, yada, 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 yada. So out first, we had Danny Burch and
Oney Lorcan
in the Dusty Classic, and Roddy comes out and he's like, who is his partner? I don't know. And then out comes Pete Dunne. Good guy Pete Dunne picking up for Trent and Tyler once again, representing, because somebody's got to do it.
Someone's got to do it.
But yeah, so this was a really good match, but I absolutely adore the pairing of Pete and Roddy, because Pete's like, yeah, okay, all right, there's something to win. You're tolerable. Yeah, okay, sure, let's do this. Like, I feel like that's Pete's whole mentality deal going on there. Is it's like, yeah, whatever, all right, I'll adopt you for the time being. And also, Roderick's a good influence on Pete. We all know Pete needs good influences in his life.
He does.
So, but yes, naturally they win.
And move on. They'll face Sanity next week.
Which I have conflicted feelings about that.
Oh, I know. Ember Moon beat Aaliyah. Ember, Shayna Baszler was on commentary. They had a stare down afterwards. Good stuff.
Very good stuff, yeah.
We had a Ricochet Coming Soon vignette. Raul Mendoza was going to come to the ring, but he got destroyed by Andrade Cien Almas.
Who is not in a good mood.
He cut his promo in Spanish, talked about respect, and called Aleister Black a piece of bleep.
Profanity, my goodness, Andrade!
Lars Sullivan returns next week.
Yes, he does.
William Regal says there's a big announcement next week that'll change the landscape of NXT forever.
EC3?
Maybe. More North American. Cashizono versus Adam Cole. That was a really good match.
That was a really good match, but you would expect nothing less from these two. Like, that's the whole thing. Is you know, when you get these guys coming in and you get, like, Ono and Cole in there, so you're like, yeah, okay, this is going to be really, really good. Side note, I want Pete Dunne versus Dan O'Brien. The Bruiserweight versus Dan O'Brien. Sure.
That'll be good.
That'll be awesome.
Adam Cole picked up the win. Good match.
Very good match.
But then there's one other thing that started off this show. Tommaso Ciampa.
Yes.
We had a lot of We Want Johnny, some Psycho Killer chants. And he starts screaming, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone. Ciampa said Gargano will not be coming down this aisle because he was gone. He then paced around the ring. He got up in people's faces who were holding up the Johnny Gargano emoji signs. Ciampa ripped some of the signs up, got in the face of the grandmother, and he pulls the giant sign away.
Wait, no. Before we get there, NXT Grandma is a BAMF. She gets right up in his face, and she gives him the thumbs up, and then she gives him the thumbs down, and she's like, yeah, bitch, fight me. That's exactly that was the look on her face. And her husband was standing there like, yep, I'm going to hold your purse while you beat his butt. It was tremendous.
Then a sign was pulled away to reveal Gianni Gargano.
In a mask.
In a mask. And then he beat. They started the brawl. The security guards ran out, pulled them apart. Good stuff.
Yeah. We got to let them fight chant. And then they drug Gianni Gargano out of the building, which they're like, he's not supposed to be here. He's not supposed to be here. It's like, well, but his wife works for the company. So by default, he can be there because his wife is there.
But she wasn't there that week, so technically he can't be.
Well, yeah, he just shows up with her, though. She could have been there. We don't know. I mean, she was there, like there, but not there.
No, but they put out a video on the YouTubes and Twitters where it was him trying to get into the building and mingling with fans. and security stopping him.
But I will say this, in terms of people being drug out of NXT kicking and screaming, Bo Dallas still has that one.
He's still number one.
He's still number one. You cannot top getting chased around in wrestling gear around the Full Sail campus with security chasing you in a golf cart. I mean, you can't top that. Because not only did security have to catch him once, they had to catch him like three times. And, you know, it was him running around for like a, you know, half a day in his wrestling gear, which always makes going to class interesting, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's this very large 6'4" man running around in white shiny underwear, essentially, with Boleave written in Disney font on his butt. So, yeah, good times.
Good times, have I all. But that was NXT?
That was NXT, so now I think that does it for the show.
Yeah, and tell them what they've heard this week.
All right, well, you have heard this week the Raw Post Show.
I meant the extras.
Oh, the extras. Yes, the extras.
This brand.
This brand. Well, you weren't clear.
Figured,
and it's late.
Figured you would have caught on, but okay.
It's late.
No
excuses. Anyway.
No excuses.
The Rack Extras are out. You can go listen to our review of The Royals, Episode 2, and our interview with the one and only Max Brown. We had a fantastic time talking to him. You should totally check it out because he gives us some key insights into the rest of the season of The Royals. The review of Timeless, Episode 2, is also available for your listening pleasure as well. So check that out because I kind of go off in that episode. In a good way.
In a good way. Things coming soon. Okay. First off, the Rack Extra, the Royals reviews will be dropping every Sunday night at 11 p.m. right after the show airs. So, be ready for that. There will be a Rack Extra reviews, the WrestleMania 34 Collectible Edition magazine coming soon. So y'all be waiting for that one. That's coming really soon. And every Wednesday will be Timeless, I think.
Tuesday or Wednesday will be Timeless. It all depends on availability and scheduling because Timeless airs on Sunday night. And, well, we're busy on Monday. And we might be busy on Tuesday. So we're going to have to see whenever we can record Timeless and get that done.
We're aiming for Wednesday releases.
Yes, but it may be Tuesdays.
Or Thursdays.
It's whenever we can get it done.
Anyway, Wednesday or Thursdays, we're aiming for releases of Timeless. Anyway, make sure you follow us, Rack Radio Show, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, because then you'll know when everything comes out. Saturday night, midnight-ish, we're back with CB Radio. We're doing WCW. Want to know what the bracket is? Here's a simple way. You can go find out, okay? You can go to greaterthangreatdebate.com.
He created a whole little site for it. Go check it out.
No one's heard this announcement until just now, so if you're listening, this breaking news. GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Check it out. Back for that. CB Radio. Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Sunday at Russell Talk Radio. Currently scheduled for 10 p.m. Eastern. Stay tuned to at WTR Sunday Night for Facebook and Twitter for details. Monday at Raw Post Show, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern for the Rack, live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. And don't worry, WTR Sims is coming.
Yes. You can follow me on Twitter, at LensWard, LNSWRD. Go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LensWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out the very fine sponsors, fightpoop.com, gerwick.net, and MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.